Diane Schur and the Count Basie Orchestra aren't the only musicians to think about traveling when they perform the blues. There really is a blues highway from New Orleans to Chicago, and Richard Knight says it was the scene of one of the major migrations in American history.
The blues highway is one road which was taken by African Americans who left the Deep South heading for Chicago in search of jobs and better lives in the first half of the 20th century. It's Highway 61, which eventually turns into sort of Highway 55, and travels through the Mississippi Delta, Memphis, St. Louis, and eventually on into Chicago. It's christened the Blues Highway because many of the innovators of jazz and blues and these related types of music took this music with them, and they influenced every town along the way.
Richard Knight and his girlfriend spent 4 months along the Blues Highway, navigating their big recreational vehicle over desolate country roads and congested city streets. The result is the Blues Highway, a guide to music clubs, festivals, museums, and other landmarks along the way. The book also contains hotel and restaurant tips and interviews with famous musicians like Ike Turner. Despite his book's title, Richard Knight says you'll hear all kinds of music along the Blues Highway.
There are several very distinct musical genres which are related to one another. Blues, jazz, rock and roll, gospel, zydeco, and even to some extent country music. Blues is probably the glue which binds them all, but in some places along the way, these types of music went into a sort of musical melting pot and a whole new sort of music came out.
Richard Knight says the blues grew out of the music African American slaves brought with them to America, and New Orleans, the first stop on the highway, played a critical role in its evolution.
As a big southern city, it was obviously something of a center for these people who were taken from Africa to America. But in New Orleans, certain distinct things happened. For example, slaves were allowed to meet and to make music in New Orleans much, much later than they were anywhere else. So some of these musical traditions were able to survive intact. But also, these people mingled with people with European musical traditions, the French, but also to some extent Scottish and Welsh and German people in New Orleans who had their own musical traditions. And they fused with African music and again created something which could only really have happened in America. It's a place where you hear music oozing from almost every door in town.
In the Big Easy, blues fans can make a time-honored pilgrimage to hear the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, view a statue of trumpet great Louis Armstrong, or see what's billed as the boyhood home of piano player Jelly Roll Morton. A few hours upriver in Memphis, Tennessee, you'll see what Richard Knight calls the birthplace of rock and roll.
Well, the blues got cranky, and they named the baby rock and roll.
The southern-born musician Muddy Waters sang a song called The Blues Had a Baby, and they named it Rock and Roll.
Memphis, in its geographic position at the top of the Mississippi Delta, acted like a funnel through which all this talent passed. Blues men traveling north from Mississippi met people from the hills of East Tennessee who played country music, and also met a great tradition of gospel music and put the three together, and that's pretty much what rock and roll is.
In Memphis, you can visit Elvis Presley's Graceland Mansion and Sun Studios, where record producer Sam Phillips helped launch Elvis and other rock and roll legends. Richard Knight says he also came across echoes of the blues in more unexpected places. Take Davenport, Iowa, located further north along the Mississippi River, west of Chicago. There you can visit the birthplace of jazz musician Dick Spiderbeck.
Big Spiderbeck heard somebody playing a cornet on a steamboat as it went past, and that man who he heard was Louis Armstrong, and Big Spiderbeck was so inspired he decided to get a cornet of his own. So you'll find that music influenced people up and down that route in strange and unexpected ways.
Richard Knight ends his musical odyssey in Chicago, where you can visit the home of Muddy Waters, one of many southern-born musical legends who eventually made their way north.
The gypsy woman told my mother, before I was born, you got a boy child coming.
Chicago is the place where everyone was trying to get to, and hundreds of thousands of people succeeded. People who arrived at Union Station in Chicago and made for the South Side, they went to the tenements of an area which became known as Bronzeville. So South Side Chicago became an absolute mecca for musicians from both jazz and blues traditions. And it's a place where you will still find a lot of this music being played night after night.
And is the sound different from what you would hear in New Orleans?
It is. I mean, New Orleans is essentially a jazz city, and Chicago is probably more a blues city, although it does have a great jazz history too. But Chicago, to most people, is probably synonymous with blues, and that's the music which really dominates. And it is a different style of blues as well. In the South, in Mississippi, blues is a simpler style. The Chicago school of blues is more urbanized, more refined, louder.
While the Blues Highway is filled with famous names and places, Richard Knight says some of his most memorable experiences along the route came at remote spots, well off the familiar tourist trails. He advises people who go in search of the blues to be adventurous. For Coast to Coast, this is Nancy Beardsley.
Yeah.